like for everybody to think of their favorite superhero. Think of your favorite superhero. If it's not Batman, you're wrong. Because Batman is the best. As Lisa put on Facebook, if we have a boy, we're thinking Bruce Batman Hendricks. And she kiboshed that. So, kind of sad. But when going over this lesson, evil, pain, and suffering, I couldn't help but think of the lead character in the Dark Knight movie from the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy. Heath Ledger played the Joker, and he had a different spin on this character than others had had. Cesar Romero had a fun version in the 60s, and he wouldn't shave his mustache, so they just put white paint over his mustache and laughed a lot and wore pink-purple clothes. And then Jack Nicholson came along in the early 90s, and there was a really popular Batman animated series where the guy that's Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars movies, he's actually the voice of the Joker. Does a fantastic job of that. Mark Hamill, I think, is his name. But then there was Heath Ledger. And Heath Ledger was different. Heath Ledger, we're going to see people that saw the movie. Sarah Lyle of the New York Times, that he viewed the film's version of the character as a psychopathic, mass-murdering, schizophrenic clown with zero empathy. He went about things to please himself. He even burned a large pile of money in the movie. He just didn't care. Didn't care. Heath Ledger, when interviewed about the character, said, "I sat around in a hotel room in London for a month, experimented with voices, and I ended up landing more in the realm of psychopath, someone with very little conscience towards his acts. Joker was an absolute sociopath, cold-blooded, mass-murdering clown. Nothing intimidates him, and everything is a big joke." Heath Ledger was given free rein to develop this character how he wanted. I thought this was interesting in studying. There had been other people that had shown interest in being the Joker. Steve Carell was one of those. But Christopher Nolan wanted to work with Heath Ledger. And he said, "You run with this." And he developed a dark character. Now, if we were to... There are monsters in real life who do some of the things that this Joker may have done in, on a smaller scale. And people will want to point the finger at God and say, this is God's fault. It is God's fault when someone does this. It's God's fault when people are killed. It's God's fault when suffering and pain happens in the world. This evening, I want to tell you, pain, evil, suffering are not God's fault. Truth is not relative. That was one of the things that the Joker tried to convince Harvey Dent of while he was laying in his hospital bed, half of his face burned away. Truth is not relative. We see in John 17:17, God's word is truth. Isaiah 65 and verse 16, He is the God of truth. Psalm 119:160, God's words are true. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, God does not lie. John 14:6, Jesus is truth. John 8:44, the devil is a liar. To deny there is no absolute truth is to reject Scripture and to reject God. But why do we have evil? Why do we deal with pain? And why do we have suffering? We live in a society that's going into moral decay. We can turn on our television sets tomorrow evening at 10 o'clock, and they'll say, the anchors will say, "Good evening," and then tell you every reason as to why it's not. Evil, pain, and suffering are in the world, but God is not to blame. First point this evening, we're going to talk about evil. God could have made a world with no evil. However, it would have been one of robots and puppets, not literally. It wasn't going to be literal robots. It was going to be people like us with no room to make our own decisions. Creatures could not love or hate anyone else. Love and hate are only for free, moral creatures. In Amos chapter 5 and verse 15, what we see is that God hates evil and loves good. Romans 1:29, hate evil, cling to good. 1 Peter 3:11, turn from evil and do good. Proverbs 8:13, to fear God is to hate evil. Have nothing to do with evil. The 101st Psalm and verse 4, fear the Lord and shun evil. Proverbs 3:7, turn from evil ways and evil practices. Jeremiah chapter 25. In verse 5, we see that God cannot tolerate evil. His eyes are too pure to look on evil, as said in Habakkuk 1:13. And God wants evil things taken from His sight, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16. So why is there evil, if it's something that God detests so much? People look to evil and blame God because there isn't someone else to blame. We consider the options that God gave. God made everything that was good. God made everything that was pure, yet gave us a decision. That means there's only one alternative, and that is evil. In John 8:44, you are your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar, the father of lies. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Mankind doesn't want to be responsible for the creation of their own problems. If we do things God's way, good will come from that. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean you're going to live the best type of blessed life in the sense that nothing bad is ever going to happen again. But it is going to lead to a life that's very positive, and we know where we're going to spend our eternity. We look at hot button issues today like abortion, divorce, euthanasia, murder, theft. All have one thing in common. They are ways in which people try to escape the responsibility they have for their own situation. We look at all of these different things and they say, hold up, I need to reach out and do this because of the situation that I'm in. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You know, God is an easy target, isn't He? We often turn to the person who's in charge. We look at something that's happening and we'll go, well, you know, it wasn't my fault, it wasn't His fault. It's God's fault. Instead of looking at the circumstance and problems, people want to look to see whose fault it was and they automatically blame God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. I think I only put verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. The time of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent, because He has fixed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed. And of this He has given assurance by all by raising Him from the dead. It doesn't matter what we endure in this life. We have options to make. We can choose to be right with God. We can choose to do. We can choose to transgress God's law, which is evil. And we're going to have to answer for our positive and negative consequences. Since God created everything, He is responsible for everything, including bad things that happen. This is an excuse that some people find. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, God did create everything into existence, but someone else modified some of those things for evil purposes, that being Satan. Everything good, everything God created was very good. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 25, it wasn't just good. What God created was very good. Even man was created good and sinless, but man sinned and ruined that which God created. Adam and Eve were sinless. They were good. It was deciding to go against God's plans where they fell into evil. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is not responsible for evil. God is not the creator of evil. Everything that God created was good. But to give us free moral agency, to give us free will, we have the option to do good, or we have the option to do evil. Everything God created is good. He gave this opportunity for free will that left room to err. God did not create evil, but it was made as a possibility when free will was given, as I've repeated. Leaving the good is transgressing God's law, which is sin or evil. Temptation isn't evil. Transgressing is evil. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. If God hadn't sent Jesus on the day of judgment, we could go before God and say, you just didn't understand, God. You didn't understand. You really didn't understand. You weren't a human. You don't know how tough it was. You don't understand the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You created everything to be good, but it was too hard. In Hebrews 4:15, what we see is that Jesus coming to the world and keeping that law perfectly gives us hope that we can also live a life pleasing to God. Not perfect, but striving to do our best on a daily basis. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until His judgment. What we see here is angels have no scheme of redemption. You know, I always found it interesting whenever angels would talk to people, they would start talking, and what did mankind want to do? They wanted to worship then. And what was the angel's response almost comically every time? Don't do that! Get up, get up, get up! Don't worship me! No! Because transgressing what God's law is, whatever it is for the angels, meant they were going to be separated for eternity. There was no scheme of redemption for angels. We see for us, for mankind, when we look at the law of the patriarchs, the law of Moses, or the law of Christ, in Psalm 19:1 and 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect. There are no flaws in the word of the Lord. And you know, we can sit back and say, if I had been God, you know, this is what I would have done. You know, it's fun to joke about that and say, I wonder how things would be differently. But let's not kid ourselves. God does know best. And it's up to us to follow what He has commanded. When we don't, we fall into evil. So did God create evil? No, but He allowed it. He allowed it. When we transgress God's laws, we've fallen into evil. And the only way for us to have our sins washed away, to be able to be back in that relationship with God, is to come in contact with the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, and that is through the watery grave of baptism. Okay, JJ. So the Bible says God didn't create evil, but what about pain and suffering? What kind of loving God would create pain and suffering? What? This God can't be real. If He's good, how can these things exist? I don't know if anybody recognizes Cooper Harris, little boy in Georgia. His father left him in the car one day. For a couple of hours, little Cooper passed away. There's a lot going on when it comes to, was this done on purpose? Was it not done on purpose? Little Cooper doesn't care. Little Cooper still passed away. Regardless if it was on purpose or not on purpose, was it his fault? No. Be it a conscious or accidental decision, Cooper paid the consequences. Was that God's fault? No. Because if God were to see that precious little boy in that car seat, suffering and about to die, if God were to go down and to break out that window and pull Cooper Harris into his arms and hold him close and say, that could have been bad. What precedent is being set? God would have to cure every bout of cancer. God would have to save every kid from running out in front of a car. Every time we tripped and almost fell and could have hurt ourselves severely, we could get to the point of, why did God let me get a paper cut? Oh, it's a silly reality. Pain and suffering aren't God's fault. It's usually our fault, isn't it? We neglect something. We do something we shouldn't. It's little guys like Cooper that suffer. This is Jack Byers. This is my grandfather. Never got to meet him. He passed away a couple of weeks after I was born. Grew up in a very abusive home. I was told that once his father tied his hands up, put him over a hook, and tried to set him on fire. His name was Elmer Herbert Byers. But they said when he fought as a little boy, he could punch as hard as Jack Dempsey. So they called him Jack. I heard stories about his great strength. He worked out at a metal plant, which I'll go into a little bit more soon. And they said guys would come in and they would have their brand new Reynolds metal caps or whatever the name of the company was. And he would say, I bet you I can knock you out of your hat. And they'd say, oh, no, you can't. And they would pull that hat down as hard as they could. And they said he could rear back and punch somebody in the shoulder so hard that their head would whip back. And no matter how hard that hat was down, it was going to fly off their head. Take a 16-pound hammer, lift it with his wrist and touch his nose. Just from hard work, years of hard work. He wasn't a very large man from what I heard, but he was extremely strong. He obeyed the gospel later in life. Got to talk to the man that converted him on the phone a couple of weeks ago and was asking him about it. He said it was about 3 a.m. He said, Jack gave me a call. Said, Glenn, what are you doing? Glenn was like, it's 3 a.m. What do you think I'm doing, Jack? He said, come over. I got a question. I'm studying my Bible. Glenn came over, and they studied through their Bible, and Jack asked him a question. Glenn answered it, and said it was that time Jack realized that the Baptist faith wasn't the biblical faith. I said, so did he obey the gospel that night? He said, no. He shut his Bible and told me to leave. But that next Sunday morning, he was baptized into Christ. He was baptized 20 years before his death. Became an elder in the church, was respected in the community. People loved him. Developed a leukemia about 2 weeks before he died that was so rare that photographers came in to take pictures of his skin. I asked my grandmother, who was in the room when he passed away, what it was like. And she said his breathing was very labored. And she said that it all of a sudden went quiet. And she said she knew he was gone. She hugged him and she kissed him. He was a good man. Solid man. I've heard stories of him standing for the truth. Why did he have to have pain? Why did he have to suffer? Why did we have to lose one of our brotherhood elders? Could have been many different reasons. Could have been what was coming off of the metal that they were working with out at that plant. Remember, this is the early 80s and the 70s and the 60s. Health regulations probably weren't the best. I was told by my grandmother that when he would get off of his shift, he would lay down in bed next to her and she could just feel the heat radiating off of him. Because of what he had worked with that day. Was it God's fault that he worked there? He went through pain and went through suffering, but wasn't God that did that? Chris may be familiar with Robert Luke and Bill III. Rob is the preacher in Denison, Texas. I'll be preaching over there on Tuesday evening. Had a son in 2005, lived for 2 months, passed away. Cute little booger, too. You can't really see it on the PowerPoint as well as you can see the regular picture. Had a congenital heart defect. Was it because of any evil? No. It was just a heart defect. Robert was telling me about it over the phone. He said something in his heart was hardening to the point they couldn't even get a balloon into his heart. And they decided to take him off of life support. And Rob said, luckily, this doctor saw this mother who was hurting, and she was questioning, what did I take? Did I take Tylenol? Did I take something that could have made my baby this way? And the doctor said, don't beat yourself up. Sometimes this just happens. Y'all didn't do anything wrong. It just happened this way. Humans, while we're resilient, are also pretty fragile. Physically, genetically, psychologically. Cute little baby didn't do anything evil. He had pain and suffering, but that pain and suffering, that wasn't from God. This is my grandmother. I talked about my grandfather. I want to talk about my grandmother. Good elder's wife. One of the best women I'd ever met in my life, was secretary at Arkadelphia Public Schools for 27 years. Did all of the sports. Retired in 1987 because they were going to force her to use a computer. And she said, I will not use a computer. So she retired. And it took 3 people to fill the work that she had done. She was a worker. Doctor told her that she was going to develop arthritis. So she needed to go out and walk, and every day she walked a mile. I remember walking with her and riding my bike with her so she could stay healthy. Around 1993, 1994, she was kind of having pain in her stomach and knew that something wasn't right. She had a rare type of pancreatic cancer. My mother asked her once, she said, you know, Daddy had this rare type of leukemia, and you have this rare pancreatic cancer. I wonder why. And my grandmother, without missing a beat, said, well, we always like to be different. She passed away in 1995. I held on to that anger for the next 13 years. Believe it or not, I was an annoying little kid. Yeah, giggle there, Sam. I was an annoying little kid. I wasn't fun to be around. She made me feel special. And I was mad at God. Why did she have pain? Why did she have suffering? We prayed so diligently. Why did she pass away? I blamed God for that for a long time, but that wasn't God. Could have been the radiation. It could have been some food they ate in the 30s and 40s. I've seen people that made uranium-lined water buckets because they thought it was going to make you stronger. And it didn't make people stronger. It gave them weird diseases. But it wasn't God that caused my grandmother to pass away. It wasn't unanswered prayers. It wasn't anything along those lines. It was just something that happens. Just something that happens. This guy, won't say his name, is in prison in Arkansas. Is the longest tenured prisoner in a certain county. He's hopped up on drugs, and he and his wife picked up the man whose tombstone is right there, pulled up a shotgun, tried to rob him. When he grabbed the barrel of the shotgun, he shot him in the shoulder, then shot him in the head. Going to be in prison for life. And as I was researching this guy, even to this day, he is still trying to get paroled. Blaming his girlfriend who was with him. She's the one that pulled the trigger. If everything is how they said it was, she didn't pull the trigger. You know, they interviewed him. They ran tests on him. They tried to find if he was competent for trials. He'd been on drugs. regardless of if he had had any chemical imbalances normally, the fellow that died still died from a shotgun blast. Is that evil? Is that from God? Was it God's will for him to pass away? You know, so often people say, well, you know, when it's my time to go, that's silly. Calvinism has crept into the church. Everything's predestined. Even God knows when your last breath is going to be. So I can live like I want to now and I'll get right later because there's a time for me to die. I don't think it was this guy's time to die. He was a young guy, was married. His wife lived until 2006. Doesn't show up on there. How do you think she felt being a young widow? It wasn't God that caused the pain and suffering. It was Smiley there. Decided to pull the trigger of a gun. The occurrence of pain and suffering has caused some to deny that God exists. It has caused some to question their faith. It has troubled and perplexed many. And it has caused some to be angry at God or feel that He has let them down. Pain and suffering are a part of life. We put an emphasis on this physical life because this is all that we know right now. All that we have seen right now. But we as Christians have a faith for what comes next. This physical death is not the end. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." Pain and suffering will come. It's going to happen. And it's not God's fault. I want you to consider this disease, anhidrosis, or CIPA. I didn't look up how to pronounce it. I looked up what it is. It's the disease that people feel no pain. You think that's got to be great. Not feeling any pain? No. Having pain is a good thing. Our body responds to pain. If you roll your ankle, you're not going to want to keep walking on your ankle. It's only going to make it worse. If you break your leg and you got the bone sticking out of the skin, are you going to want to get up and jog? No. Pain is a very good thing. Pain lets us know when something's wrong. Tara Blocker has a daughter who has this disease. And it got real for her about the time her daughter was 3. Her daughter had been playing outside and had burned her hands very bad and was just standing there looking at them turn red. And she said, "That was a reality check for me. At that point, I realized we're not going to be able to stop all the bad stuff," Tara Blocker said. "She needs a normal life, but a normal life with limitations." You know, we as Christians have limitations, and those limitations are for our own good. You know, we don't have to understand everything that God has told us to do, but it's our responsibility to do what God has asked us to do. At the end of time, we're going to understand everything, whether we're on the right side of eternity or the wrong side of eternity. As Christians, we're going to deal with pain, we're going to deal with persecution, we're going to deal with suffering. 2 Timothy 3:12, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, "For this light momentary affliction." Who's writing this? Paul. Later on in this book, he talks about being beaten. He talks about being shipwrecked. He talks about all these horrible things, but he says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." If there's a key verse for the lesson tonight, this is it. "As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen, they're eternal." We're going to hurt. We're going to suffer. It's not God's fault. because somebody decides to use their free will to go out and hurt someone doesn't mean that God is not a loving God. You know, people will say, well, Jesus was around, this is what Jesus would say. So I decided to have my own little moment like that. I found Jesus sitting on a park bench with a guy. And the top, Jesus, why are there people starving in the world? I feel like Jesus' response to that would be, I was going to ask you the same thing. People expect God to miraculously drop food, cure diseases, to make people not hurt anymore, to take away all the bad, to make every day smiley and beautiful and birds singing and unicorns with rainbows and everything. That's not the God of the Bible. This life is like that in this grand scheme of things. We have responsibility to live our lives as God would have us to and share that good news with others so as many people as possible can spend an eternity with God the Father. So the conclusion of the lesson this evening. The devil doesn't come dressed in a red cape with pointy horns. He comes as everything you've ever wished for. Pray for wisdom and pray for discernment. So many things we would like to do can cause us great suffering, can cause us great pain, and can lead us down a path of evil. We've got to stick with God. Bad things are not God's fault. Suffering and pain are a part of life. What we're living for today is for eternity after this life. So what decisions are you making? Are the decisions that you're making today leading you to God or leading you to hell? Had a great time at camp last week. Michael said it was okay. Had a great time at camp. And they did a skit. One of the only funny things that happened. It was the worst skit nights in the history of camp. And they were retelling a story. One of my buddies, Isaac, was telling a story. And he said at first, Goldilocks had gone and grabbed a bowl of water because they're in the desert. That changed the story. The first one was hot. Ha! Ah! The guy acted like he was burned. And then he pulled the next one up and drank it and spat it from his mouth. And he said, and this one was lukewarm, so he spewed it from his mouth. Luke 3:16. Or Revelation 3:16. So the nerd in me just laughed out loud. I thought that was pretty funny. But there's nothing funny really about being lukewarm. It's not pleasing to God. Either be all in or you're wasting your time. And I tell you, if you do things the way that God would have you to do them, it's going to lead to an eternity so amazing words can't describe it. If you're having trouble getting in that direction, do whatever it takes to get right with God. There may not be an allotted time that you're going to pass away, but you need to always be prepared for Jesus to return. If you have something you're dealing with that could keep you out of heaven, do whatever it takes to get out of it. But if you're not a Christian, no matter how many good works you have done, it isn't going to wash away one sin. If you'd like to become a Christian being baptized into Christ, let us study with you to make the most important decision that you could possibly make. Please come forward as we stand and sing. So